We have been continuing our journey, working through the new mission statement of loving Jesus, growing together, and serving our world. This morning, we are going to look at a way that we can serve our world by loving the unlovable. And this might be a challenge, a task for a lot of us, because many times it's easy to love those who are like us. It's easy to love those who do things that help our lives. It's easy to love those individuals that really look like us and they may act like us. And the reality of it is I really believe that the scripture tells us something different, that we need to love the unlovable. The story is told of a poor peasant man who is stealing some food from the grounds of a huge castle, which was inhabited by a beast. The beast catches him and says, "I'm going to put you in my dungeon, and you will be my prisoner forever, unless you send your beautiful daughter to live with me." Upon hearing of her father's plight, the daughter decided that she would save her father by going to the castle and living with the beast. Unbeknownst to everyone, the beast was really a handsome prince who'd been turned into a hideous monster by a fairy after he refused to let her in from the rain. The only way this curse could be broken was for him to find true love despite the way he looked, despite his appearance, despite his ugliness. He had to be loved as a beast before he could return to being a handsome young prince. You probably have recognized this story as being of Beauty and the Beast. I'm just going to remind all of us the closing scenes here of this fable, of this fairy tale. And in the closing scenes, the beast, he lies dying from a wound inflicted by his enemy, Gaston. And as he laid there dying, Belle, the beauty, confesses her love for the beast and just in time gives him the kiss that breaks the curse. As I mentioned earlier, we're going to continue our journey through our mission statement. And this morning, I want to challenge all of us about loving the unlovable. And I must confess, it's easy to love those who are lovable. It's easy to love and care for those around who look a certain way and act a certain way. It's also easy to love those in our world who have certain possessions. It's even easy to love those who benefit our life. But what about those who challenge us? What about those who cause us harm, who cause us pain, or even inflict undue hardship upon us? What do we do with them? I want to posit or present that I believe that Jesus tells us to love them in spite of their inadequacies. You see, friends, that's the heart of God. We are called to love them in spite of what they are. You brought your Bibles, I certainly hope you have. Turn to the Gospel of Mark. We're going to be in the Gospel of Mark chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 40 through 45. The significance is this is the healing of a leper by Jesus. And it's this account, and in Jesus' culture, in Judaism, Jesus was a Jew, lepers could only be healed by God. And the healing of lepers was the characteristic of the Messianic age. And so right up front, right in the first chapter of the Gospel of Mark, Jesus is saying something about who he is. Jesus is saying something about himself, and he is saying that I am God, meaning Jesus was God, and he is saying that he is ushering in the Messianic kingdom, he himself being the Messiah. As we look at this account, these six verses, there's a tension that needs to be placed upon two individuals, upon the sufferer, the leper, and upon the Savior, Jesus. We also need to realize that the disease of leprosy represents a disease of sin. Leprosy, it starts with a small spot and then it grows and eventually it just deteriorates the body, the physical body. And sin is very similar. It starts with some small action deep within our soul and it starts there and it grows and it grows and it grows and it grows. And so if you have your Bibles open, we are going to bring this all together here this morning. Follow along with me as I read Mark chapter 1, verses 40 through 45. Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once and said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way. Show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them. However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but he was outside in deserted places. And they came to him from every direction. I want to offer to you four talking points, and then we're going to have 4 points of practical application. The first we see in verse 40 is the request from the leper, and we're told that a leper came to him, and he was imploring him. He was kneeling down to Jesus, and he was saying, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Just a few quick words about leprosy. In Jesus' day, leprosy was considered to be ceremonially unclean, and it often prevented those individuals afflicted from this disease from entering Jerusalem, the holy city. These individuals were socially ostracized from everyday life, and leprosy was viewed as a divine punishment for serious sin. This disease belonged among the worst evils to afflict a person. Was viewed as a living death whose healing was equivalent to being raised from the dead. And it's been described it was the most terrible of all maladies, a living death, a poisoning of the springs, a corrupting of all of life, a disillusion little by little of the whole body, so that one limb after another actually decayed and fell away. I want us to understand that the leper was doing exact opposite of what he was called to do. He was doing the very opposite thing of which was prescribed in the Mosaic Code or the law. Leviticus 13, 45 and 46 tells us, now the leper on whom the sore is, his clothes shall be torn. So picture this, there's a man probably ripped and tattered and torn clothes. His head should be bare. His head was shaved and he shall cover his mustache and beard and he shall cry, unclean, unclean, to alert all the passerby so they could go around. And he shall be unclean all the days he has the sore, he shall be unclean. He is unclean and he shall dwell alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. And just like the beast in the fable, the leper was separated from society and he was all alone. And yet he sees his chance with Jesus passing by and he seizes the opportunity. He recognizes the power that Jesus possessed. He's just unsure if Jesus is willing to heal him. We're told he then begs Jesus. He begins to kneel, and the other gospel accounts tell us that he worships Jesus. He's face down, prostrate in front of Jesus, worshiping, begging, imploring, asking for Jesus to heal him so that he would be the recipient of Christ's healing power and mercy. So we can picture the unclean man, the unclean individual approaching Jesus, begging, falling down before him, asking Jesus if he would be willing to heal him. I want you and I want me to picture yourself as the leper. You see, all of us have leprosy of the soul. We all have that sin nature, the Adamic nature, the Adamic nature, if you want to call it that, because our parents, Adam and Eve, they sinned and they passed on. Just like leprosy is hereditary, it's passed on to generation and generation. So too is sin passed on and on and on and on to you and to me. And so we need to respond as the leper did to Jesus, and we need to run after him. Instead, the tendency is for us to stand back and not approach Christ. Sin ostracizes, sin alienates, sin separates all of us from society, and it gives us no hope of a future, only a slow disintegrating death until we meet Christ. And friends, if we fail to see ourselves needing the cleansing healing from Christ, then you nor I will ever, 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 ever love the unlovable. will continue to fabricate trivial expectations and will heap them up on people, such as they need to look a certain way, they need to do certain things, they need to act a certain way. Jesus didn't expect a leper to be dressed a certain way, say certain things, do anything. He met the leper in his condition he was in, separated and as an outcast. The second talking point is Jesus' reaction. Verse 41, we're told that Jesus, he was moved with compassion. An old saint of the past, G.K. Chesterton, he stated, "Fairy tales are more than true, not because they tell us that dragons exist, but because they tell us that dragons can be beaten. Beauty and the Beast teaches that the unlovely must be deeply loved before they become lovable." I'm going to say that again. G.K. Chesterton says that Beauty and the Beast teaches that the unlovely must be deeply loved before they can become lovable. He also went on to say, the noble lesson behind the fable of the Beauty and the Beast is that one must be loved in order to become lovable. Someone treated like an animal will become an animal. Someone treated with worth, dignity, and beauty as a human being will become a human being. I can't tell you how many times I've worked with individuals that have done hard time, locked up, incarcerated, and they categorize their experience like this. I was locked up with a group of animals. I was locked up with a bunch of animals. You treat people like an animal, they'll behave like an animal. And I'm not even here going to go down the road of social justice because that's for another day. We're told that we need to love, and we cannot believe that we love. 1 John tells us that it's this love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son. You see, friends, Jesus didn't hold anyone in low esteem for being a leper. Not any more than he did for being blind, deaf, or anything else. Jesus came into the world to help, to heal, and to save. And he had so much compassion. He still has so much compassion. He was moved to words and to action. His tenderness, the outpouring of his heart in words, became deeds of sympathy and compassion. He constantly takes the condition of the afflicted onto his heart. The sorrows of the people become the sorrows of Jesus. And he earnestly loves the burdened people. And he's willing to help them. I want you to hear that. He's willing to help them. The third point is the response. And Jesus, we're told, he stretched out his hand. He touched him and he said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." In Jesus' touch, he told the leper, "I do not despise you." By touching the man, Jesus inspired the man filled with confidence, meaning I'm not going to be rejected. I'm going to be met. I'm going to be accepted. And I have to wonder how long it was since that man had experienced physical touch of a handshake. You might say, but that's not me. Dave Kaiser, the head of Western Avenue, he was sharing with me months ago about how simple things such as positive comments, positive statements to individuals over the course of a week, if they get so many positive, love-filled statements, it will literally, change their future. It will change their destiny. It will change the direction that they are going. But it's easy to love that which is appealing to us. It's easy to love those people that are like us. It's more difficult to love those people who have done us wrong and who are our enemies. It's difficult to love people who will cost us something. It's even more difficult to go against the societal norm, and yet Jesus does all this by touching the leper. Jesus says, I'm not going to, I understand I'll be unclean, but I'm going to step out of the box and I'm going to touch this man. The fourth point is the result. Immediately we're told that the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. The leper's need and faith found an immediate response in Jesus' eagerness to help, and the healing was complete and instantaneous. And you and I both know that you cannot meet the living Lord, the risen Christ, without being changed. Time and time again in Scripture, we are told Jacob, he wrestles with the angel, he walks with a limp for the rest of his life. The leper here meets the risen, he's not risen yet, but he is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. He meets Jesus, and he is forever changed. The leper was loved, and yet he became lovable. Jesus loved this leper, and just as in the fairy tale, the beauty and the beast, the curse of being ostracized and alienated and outcast, it was broken. As G.K. Chesterton said, to make something lovable, it must first be loved. Jesus showed this leper love, and he became accepted and changed forever. Friends, you and I, we've received the love of Christ. We've been made into new creatures. That's what Scripture tells us. We are made new. We are not the same as what we were. We have been changed forever. We will never be the same. We have been made completely new. So what are we to make of all this? I want to give us four quick points of application here. The first is we need to remember that God loved us when we were still unlovable. And yes, all of us, every single one of us, that God loved us, you and me, when we were unlovable. Romans 5, verse 10, we're told, "For if when we were enemies of God, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son." So we were enemies of God. We were reconciled. We were unlovable. And we need to remember our position, because at one point in time, we were that leper. And through God's grace and the outpouring of his Holy Spirit wooing us, the prevenient grace calling us to our Heavenly Father, calling us to our Savior, Jesus Christ, the risen Lord, we were loved when we were enemies and unlovable to God. I don't know about you, but when we reckon with that in our mind, our heart, and our soul, it should provide all of us the motivation to love those in our life, in our world, who are different than us. Because we acknowledge our own need, our own desperate need for a Savior, and it should allow us to reach out to those in need. If we forget that God loved us when we were unlovable, then we will never reach out to those who are in need. The second thing is we need to recognize the other individual's need for help and love them anyway. We need to try and serve them in whatever way we can. And friends, many times the actions are only the symptoms and they're not the root cause. And so what people do and how they act, it's really not what's going on underneath. There's something deeper going on. There's something painful. There's hurt and there's anguish going on to cause these individuals to do what they do. And we need to look past the symptoms and see a bigger problem. Jesus engages the leper and he doesn't see leprosy. He sees a bigger problem, a man who has been ostracized, alienated, marginalized, and put out of society. And he deals with that head on. St. Augustine said, good for good, evil for evil, that's natural. Evil for good, that is devilish. Good for evil, that is divine. And so when we engage and interact with people, we need to understand many times it's the pain, it's the hurt that is causing them to do what they do. And we need to love them anyway. And sometimes all we can do by loving them is to pray for them and earnestly pray for God's blessing to be upon them. And sometimes we need to totally separate because of fear of being harmed or hurt. And I am not saying to blindly run into areas where our welfare is going to be jeopardized. That is not what I am saying. What I am saying is we need to cultivate a heart disposition, a heart attitude that Jesus had and Jesus has. The third thing we can do is we need to re-energize our love for God and our love for others. We need to re-energize it. We need to reinvigorate it. We need to bring it new and make it more powerful. If we're ever going to love the unlovable, we must have compassion, the eyes that God has to see what he sees, instead of seeing the externals, to see the heart. We also need to have compassion, acknowledging that people will rarely come and ask us for our help when it's convenient for us. And if we're not firmly rooted in our love for God and our love for others, then when it's inconvenient, we are not going to see the need. We're going to see inconvenience. I can't tell you how vital it is. If we're going to be a church family, a body of believers that is loving the unlovable, embracing those that are different in this culture, and calling them back, and yes, I'm saying calling them back. Friends, we don't want to just love people and allow them to stay in the same situation they're in. Jesus embraced and engaged a leper, and he called him to a different way of life. And as we move forward, that's what true love does. It calls people to be changed by the power and the grace of God, by getting plugged in and re-energizing our love for God. We will first stop viewing those unlovable people as beasts, and we'll see them as people who bear the image of God, the Creator God. And by receiving God's love, we'll be able to allow it to flow through to others who desperately need to be loved. And I'll just remind us all of Romans 5:5. We're told that now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And so when we re-energize our love for God, we allow what he's pouring into our heart to be poured out into the lives, the hearts, and the souls of other people. Fourth application point of what we can do is we need to refocus our priorities. And I'll say it again, we need to refocus our priorities. We need to adjust our schedules to take time to share this love to those who need it. And yes, sometimes that means that we will be inconvenienced. Yes, that sometimes it means that what is on our schedule to do will just get pushed aside. But friends, if we truly want to share the love of Christ to those in our world, we will adjust our schedules to take time to share this love to those who need it. Sit down on a bench with an individual and chat with them. Go into a restaurant and just speak to an individual and listen. Many times we take our agenda to these relationships. Jesus did not take his agenda. He met the leper and he dealt with it. We need to slow down from our frantic, busy life, and we need to see where God's at work. And as Henry Blackaby says, see where God's at work and go get involved and partner with God in that way. Some practical ways that we can refocus our priorities. We can visit shut-ins. We can visit a neighbor. We can get involved with outreach opportunities here at Trinity. The Labor Day picnic at Luther Meadow. The hope is that, you know, we will take several individuals over there. We don't have to purchase any food, provide anything. We show up, we cook the meal, and we minister. We hear their heart. We hear their story. There's nothing that costs anything, any of us, anything to do. Just time. When my grandfather was up in years, I never understood this until now. I get it fully. And I would say to him, every time I would stop, I would say, hey, Grandpa, do you need anything? And he would look at me and he said, time. He would say, time. He would always say, time. And I never grasped that. In your 20s, you think you got all the time in the world. But when you're a little bit older and life is passing you by, it's a whole new perspective. And friends, time is a precious commodity that sometimes to sit down with a cup of coffee and visit with someone who gets no interaction, who gets no relational conversation, that can be the best thing you can provide for them. The fun run going on October 20th here. There's going to be a 5K, and it's designed to raise funds for children who would not have a Christmas otherwise to purchase the gifts. And so there's ways to get involved, to love the unlovable, to serve those people that are in desperate need of receiving the love of Christ. My challenge for all of us is that we would raise the step up to that challenge and show the love of God to those who may or may not make us feel uncomfortable. Let us pray. Precious God, we thank you, Lord, for the example of Jesus, our Savior, who broke all the norms of society. And he saw the heart, the plight, the desperation of this man. And Father, we thank you because not only with this leper, but he saw our desperation. He saw our plight spiritually. He saw our dilemma that we were alienated from you. And Father, help us to grasp where we all would be if you didn't take that first step lovingly toward us. Help us to grasp where in desperate straits we would be if you did not take that first step of laying down your life, not because it benefited you anything, but because it would benefit us. And Father, may we rise to the challenge. May we partner with you. May we seek to just reflect that same heart, that same passion for people, that same desire to show those who truly do need to be loved, that there are people in this world that truly do care. Father, give us your wisdom, give us your insight, and may we not just throw caution to the wind and run into the areas that are going to be unsafe and cause us harm, but may we embrace those areas as you lead. May we follow your lead. May we follow your example on Jesus. We may not be able to heal diseases, but Father, we can provide the comfort of someone being there in a situation of whatever someone is going through. So meet with us, Father. Lead us and guide us. Encourage us, I pray. Strengthen us and embolden us and give us your vision, we pray, to see what you see. Lord Jesus, we love you and we thank you. We pray all this in the mighty and the holy name of Jesus our Savior, we pray. Amen.
If you could please stand for our closing song.
Jealous for me, he loves like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions, eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. And oh, how he loves us. Oh, oh, how he loves us. How he loves us. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions, eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. Yeah, he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves. We are his portion and he is our prize. Drawn to redemption by the grace in his eyes. If grace is an ocean, we're all sinking. And heaven meets earth like an unforeseen kiss. My heart turns violently inside of my chest. I don't have time to maintain these regrets when I think about the way he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves. He loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves. Choose to give you my heart each and every day. I'll love you with all I have inside of me. And I love you like the flowers love the rain. I love you in ways I cannot explain. 'Cause you first poured out your love on me. Yeah, he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves. He loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh,
if you guys are aware, but God is crazy about all of you. Just let that sink in. God truly does love every single one of you, and he loves you so much that he has poured out his love in Christ Jesus, your Lord, your Savior, my Lord, my Savior. And you know, a friend of mine told me this years ago. He said, I'm just one beggar telling another beggar where I found bread. And you know what? I'm just one unlovable individual telling another unlovable individual where I found love. So as we go forth here this week, My prayer for all of us is the love of God would continually pour in your hearts and your minds, your souls, and that love would pour out into those other individuals who, friends, are in desperate need of hearing and feeling that same love that you and I have the blessing of feeling and experiencing in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. So as you go, as we go, may his peace keep you. May his strength sustain you. May his love flood your heart, mind, and soul. And may his truth keep your path straight. May you, may I, depart in peace. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.